Healthcare is one of the issues we're looking at as we tee up the election now less than 4 weeks away. Joining us now is Dr. Herbert Pardes, who is president and CEO of New York Presbyterian Hospital and Healthcare System, a position he's held since 1999. He's also a distinguished psychiatrist. Dr. Pardes, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Now, you heard the sentiments. They're relatively bitter sounding of that person saying, you know, no one should make money off of cancer. You are president and CEO of the New York Presbyterian Hospital and Healthcare System, a giant company that is in business in healthcare. How do you respond to that?
We are a nonprofit, and any monies that come into the hospital are used for the healthcare of the patients.
Let's take a look at from the perspective of a healthcare provider. If citizens and taxpayers say again and again that they want security and availability in their healthcare system to deal with the health problems that they can't necessarily foresee, what is the number one requirement on the wish list for healthcare providers like your company?
I think that there should be coverage and access made available for all citizens of the United States.
Would that simplify matters? We hear stories of healthcare providers who actually take on staff to deal with the various insurance programs and requirements and paperwork required to even get the simplest thing paid for.
You're putting your finger right on it. One of the big issues is the amount of administrative work, money, expense being expended, which I think could be reduced dramatically if we found ways of streamlining the administrative aspects of the healthcare system.
It's estimated that more than 47 million Americans are without health insurance. Is this an economic issue or is it a public health issue? And if it is a public health issue, how does it manifest itself in the health of the U.S. population?
Well, I think to some degree you could consider it as both. For example, when people don't have coverage, don't have a regular physician to go to, what they often do is use the emergency room as their doctor. That brings a number of people into the emergency room who really do not need emergency care. And it also overcrowds emergency rooms and makes it more difficult for the other patients who are coming in. Now, in addition, what happens is people delay going for care, and often the illness gets worse, so that sometimes the ability to treat them effectively is reduced, and also the likelihood of a good recovery is reduced, and further, the cost of a more complicated situation is increased.
Well,
so
how
I
would
think
you,
all of those are bad results.
How would you deal with various populations that have a really large impact in emergency rooms, say, at New York Presbyterian, say, people with asthma, people with the chronic care problems like diabetes? How would you recommend that an insurance system take care of that population?
I think that should, for example, with diabetes, which is a very good example, since it is so big a cost in the system, what I would do is have reimbursement system which allows diabetes centers to provide comprehensive care. Often, if you have a young person who's diagnosed with diabetes, what happens is the medical care system is covered for a limited portion of what they do. If you have a young teenager who gets diabetes, what you want is that person may need help from a nutritionist, a behaviorist, somebody who can work with him on exercise, and those costs are not covered. As a result, the care is not as comprehensive as it could be. If you did give comprehensive care and the young person took better care of himself, he would reduce the likelihood that he would have any of the massive number of complications of diabetes, which, again, are very costly.
Let's stay on the diabetes example here, then. Dr. Pardes, would you support a McCain approach to subsidizing high-risk pools for people with diabetes if part of the consequence of that subsidy was it created comprehensive health care facilities to deal with the very things you're talking about?
Well, I would support anything which provides the ability to people providing the care to give comprehensive diabetes care. We've done that ourselves at New York Presbyterian. We set up a very comprehensive diabetes center, and what we found is the only way to make it work financially has been through philanthropy because the reimbursement system doesn't cover the costs.
So if the healthcare system that proposed either by Barack Obama and or John McCain doesn't deal with paying for comprehensive care, it's not going to have an impact on general health in the United States.
Well, it certainly will have a fault in that people with that particular illness will more frequently not be covered completely, and as a result, you may not have as strong a provider system for them. Incidentally, I think important in diabetes is this is a shared responsibility. So people who have diabetes, if they take care of themselves and learn how to take care of themselves, they often protect themselves from, again, what I said were all kind of complications, which means heart disease, vascular disease, kidney disease, and many others.
Do you think having a health care provider and getting insurance is a responsibility that's part of an individual's overall health care responsibility to stay healthy?
I think that it's a shared responsibility. I think the government has to be in there to help, and I think people have to take some responsibility themselves. But the goal should be that they're all covered.
Right.
And that means they get treatment when they should get. They go for regular checkups so that we catch things early, and therefore when they're less serious. And that means emergency rooms remain for people who have conditions that have to be treated in an emergency room.
Well, I wish we could do something to improve the health of your phone line there, but it's been great talking to you. Dr. Herbert Pardes is president and CEO of New York Presbyterian Hospital. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.